Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to today pick up from Ephesians chapter 5, a theme that touched on quite a bit last week. I want to continue it here. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer, download them to whatever device works for you to listen at your leisure. So here we are, drawing closer to Christmas in this Advent season. It's a season of preparation, a season of awakening. We're being called to be alert, to be awake, anticipating the second coming of Christ, as well as celebrating his first coming. We're that people in the earth, this imperfect body of forgiven sinners, people who are following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and are seeking in this pilgrimage we're living on this earth. Remember now, Advent is a key time to get the big picture clear again. Simple things like, you're going to be dead soon. How's that for an exciting thing to think about first thing in the morning? Life is short, the Bible tells us. It's a passing shadow. It's a breath. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. Soon we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or he will return. His return will take place. Whatever it is, life for us is going to be short. Even if you're 15 years old and you're listening, and you live to be 100, that's going to go by actually pretty fast. I'm almost 60 now, so I'm definitely on the back nine and not sure exactly when it's all going to end, but it's not far off. And so the church reminds us, okay, who are you? I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a member of his body, his church, that is called by Christ, commanded by Christ to love God, love neighbor, make disciples, to be clear about who I am, and to be about the master's mission and about the master's business. Those striking and sobering parables that Jesus teaches about the servants who fail to keep their lamps burning, that is to stay alert and stay focused and ready for the Lord's return. Those are really challenging parables where Jesus says it does not go well for those who don't live on alert status. So the church has this beautiful season for us to help call us to that alert status. All of us as Christians, remember, we're the light of the world. But if our lamp goes dim, the light goes out, and the world is lost without the light of God, without the light of Christ. So the apostles work hard to exhort us in very practical ways. They call us to living a new way of life, a life that's consistent with the reality of what happened to us in our baptism. We literally became a new creation. Something new, a new power, a new capacity to live a new way of life was given to us in baptism. What is that power? It's the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in all those who are baptized, moving in us, strengthening us, teaching us how we can conform more and more to the person of Jesus Christ. So I touched on some of Ephesians chapter 5 last week, where Paul talks about putting off. He's telling the Ephesians community, but we now can see the same exhortation directed to us. He's saying, put off your old way of life. Put off those habit patterns of sin, worldly ways of thinking, self-centeredness, inordinate self-love, your lust, your anger, your covetousness. Put all that away, unforgiveness and the like, and live now a new way of life, a life that's consistent with who you are now in Christ. So I'm going to pick up chapter 5, verse 7, where Paul is just talking about, verse 6, I'm sorry, he said, let no one deceive you with empty words. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now, I might be wrong, but it sure seems like our culture today, with all the social media and 24-hour everything in media, there's more empty words being proclaimed and being spoken than maybe any time in history. People are being paid to come up with empty words every day. Foolish visions of reality, lifestyles being pushed, idols being exalted, all the rest of this happens all the time. And we're in a constant battle, and we have to have an alert mind. We have to be awakened. We have to stay focused on the way of life that Christ has called us to. And that those empty words, which Paul says very clearly here, they stir up the wrath of God. There's things on earth. We have to remember, there's things happening on earth that profoundly offend God. God is the one who's chiefly offended by the sins of the world. And this year now, we're just wrapping up the 100th year of Fatima. The reality of Fatima was celebrated this year. And I just want to read a few things about what the angel of Portugal that was sent to the children of Fatima and what Our Lady herself said to them about how deeply God was being offended in their day and how serious that is and how important it is for God's people to be praying, fasting, praying the rosary, battling spiritually for sinners, that they would come awake, that it'd be called to repentance and live. So here's just a few things. Here's the angel of Portugal. He came to the children and said, "Don't be afraid. I'm the angel of peace. Pray with me." So as I mentioned a few weeks ago, what did he do? He taught them how to posture themselves to receive from the Lord a message and a mission that he was about to give them. So he knelt down, put his forehead on the ground, and the children did the same thing around him. Remember Francisco, Jacinta, Lucia, I think they were 7, 9, and 11 years old. Think of how young they were. And he taught them to say, "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. And I pray for all those who did not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you." At one time, the angel came and the kids were together at a place and he appeared to them again and he said, "This is, what are you doing? Pray, pray very much. The most holy hearts of Jesus and Mary has designs of mercy on you. Offer prayers and sacrifices constantly to the Most High." So the angel's exhorting them to pray constantly. How about that? Calling a 7-year-old to pray constantly. God treats them with amazing dignity, doesn't he? And he's got high expectations for what they're capable of doing with his help. And then he goes on to say this. He said, "Make of everything you can a sacrifice and offer it to God as an act of reparation for sins by which he is offended and in supplication for the conversion of sinners. You will thus draw down peace upon your country. I am its angel guardian, the angel of Portugal. Above all, accept and bear with submission the suffering which the Lord will send you." And the children were literally taught by Mary and taught by the angel to not run away from the sufferings that come to them in life, but to offer those up in reparation, to unite them to the suffering of Christ and unite them for the prayers of the lost, that they repent and stop offending God. The angel said the following thing 3 times to the children. He said, "Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly, and I offer you the precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifference with which he himself has been offended. And through the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of you the conversion of poor sinners." So the angel was teaching children this prayer. And what's being revealed to them is the heart of God, the mind of God, the truth that human sacrilege is taking place. Outrageous things are happening. People are radically indifferent to God. That was back in 1917, whatever the year was there, early 20th century. Think about the state of the world now and how radically secularized and self-centered and worldly it has become. It's outrageous. It's profoundly offensive to God, and it will bring down the judgment of God. In fact, it's happening. The judgment of God is happening right now on the world. He's exposing the hypocrisy, the lies, the sin. And if we don't pay attention, and if we don't repent, greater judgment's going to come. And isn't it interesting? The first things that he's revealing is the degree of sexual perversion and sin that's going on in the lives of very prominent people. I mean, at a time when the world is like, yeah, you know, even people in the church, like, you know, sexual sins are not that big of a deal. They're a really big deal. They're profoundly offensive to God. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is not your own. It belongs to God. It was made by God for God. We're meant to be set apart for God. We're called from the foundation of the world to live lives of holiness. And when human beings just blow that off and they radically turn away from it and decide on a sinful pattern of life, that is profoundly offensive to God. And so the exhortation is there, and the children took this very seriously, and they live lives, the two youngest ones only lived 2 more years, but they made lots of sacrifices each day for sinners. So they understood that the wrath of God, as Paul talks about here in this passage, comes against sin. And if we die in sin, if we die attached to our sin and to our idols, we're going to experience God's judgment on that sin, which is eternal separation from Him. Sin can never be united or brought into the presence of God Himself, the Holy God. Verse 7, therefore, do not associate with people who are choosing this way of life, Paul is saying here. For once you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. You once lived in this pattern of life, in this darkened way of thinking, dominated by inordinate self-love and disordered passions of life. He goes on to say, walk as children of the light. You were called out of darkness. Darkness is that way of living that's radically inconsistent to God's call and purpose for us. And you're called into the light. Jesus is the light of the world. You're called into Jesus' orbit of life, His way of living. I saw a wonderful teaching not long ago, a simple one that I've used many times since. Imagine a little triangle, you know, an equilateral triangle. And at the tip of the triangle, put the word up. At the bottom right corner, put the word in. At the left right corner, put the word out. Up, in, out. What does that represent? It represents the great loves of Jesus. The three great loves. What are they? Jesus oriented His life upward toward the Father. His first love was the Father. And every day He prayed, He walked with the Father, He spoke to Him, He obeyed His commandments to demonstrate His absolute surrender and love of the Father. And every day He lived in the inn. What's the inn? It's His community that He built. Around He and Our Lady, the apostles, the larger grouping of disciples, those He formed and built as the foundation of the church. And what's the out? The out is that love that Jesus is going to seek and save the lost. Jesus loves those who are lost, who don't know the Father's love, who don't know the situation that they're in. He died for them. And the same love that was on that cross that died for you and for me, for every sinful person in the world, Jesus Christ laid down His life in love. Jesus loved the Father. Jesus loved the church, the community He was building. And Jesus loved the lost. He came to seek and save the lost. St. John Paul II pointed these things out very simply. He called them the commissions of a disciple. If you're baptized into Christ, you are His disciple. A disciple is what? A lifelong learner, a follower of Jesus Christ, looking to imitate His life. The Holy Father said, what is the Holy Spirit going to lead you to in imitation of Jesus? To union with the Father in deep prayer, even contemplation, to communion, to living in the church and living in all the grace God has given the church, and to empower you to go out and to love those in this world concretely who don't know Christ. Are you living in the up, the in, and the out? It's simple to think about. It's the profound pattern of life to walk in the great loves of Jesus. May we do it each and every day. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.